You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall here this week to look at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship and the Career Builder Challenge on the PGA Tour. First of all, I missed a week last week, but it was a week with a little bit of success, with the full place being landed with Webb Simpson in Wailea. But Patton Kizzire ended last season, or last year, in fine form, starts this year in fine form by winning the Sony Open in Hawaii. And I'm glad I didn't stay up for that event.
Why?
Dave.
Why?
Well, because it ended about 4 a.m, didn't it?
I mean, see. Yes, was it the standard of the golf you were complaining about?
No, not the standard of the golf, yeah. Not at all. But it was a 4 or 5 hole playoff. And
6 holes, wasn't it?
6 holes, yeah. Was it?
It's bad enough as it is, isn't it, in Hawaii?
Precisely. So I can't imagine what time that finished.
No, you're better off getting up early. Pity there wasn't an Ashes test still on. We could have watched Steve Smith batting whilst we toil away. But yeah.
You did the right thing by just picking someone that got placed instead of the winner. So you could go to sleep about 1:30, 2 a.m.
Well, I went to sleep thinking I probably wouldn't get anything anyway, so he came with a bit of a rattle, Webb Simpson. It was a nice little story, because his mother actually tweeted me to say thanks for supporting him and backing him.
Really?
Yeah. How random's that?
How did she find out?
I've no idea.
Did she read one of your articles?
I guess she did, but I don't know how.
I need to search for this tweet.
Yeah, she...
Celebrity tweet from Webb Simpson's mother.
So it's because there was a bit of a sad backstory, because his dad died recently, or back end of last year, which had caused him to pull out of his final event so he could spend some time with him. And she just got in touch to sort of say she'd seen something I'd done and it would sort of helped her, which is really nice, wasn't it?
Very nice.
And then for him to get a place, so complete the circle, so... Thank you, Debbie Simpson, for getting in touch, and all the best.
And he's in the field this week. We'll get to the Career Builder Challenge shortly. The other event, Chris Paisley denied Brandon Grace in South Africa. That South African Open is proving to be a graveyard for the top South African players.
Yeah, they always seem to get picked off by somebody, don't they? And I'm not sure many had Chris Paisley in their sort of lineups. But Brandon Grace, he was the one who's... I probably liked of the top guns. He seems to be much more reliable than Schwartzel these days. And he, most weeks he would have done enough to win. But I think that's 4 of the last 5 years a European has won that event. Mm-hmm. So you kind of... I was struggling to find a sort of Euro to win, but they go over there, the different grass, and you think maybe the hosts have got an advantage, the hot weather. But no, the European Raiders seem to love it.
Let's get stuck into this week, because we've got two good events. This Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, because there's so much cash up for grabs. It's the richest event on the European Tour. Always attracts a strong field, and this year no different. We've got Dustin Johnson at the top of the betting at 5-1. Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy both 8-1. Henrik Stenson is 16s. Paul Casey is 18-1. The defending champion Tommy Fleetwood is 20s, and it's 22-1 and bigger the remainder. The world number one, DJ, arrives on the back of his romp at Kapalua. You've got Justin Rose, who's in the form of his life at the moment, and we've got Rory McIlroy returning to competitive golf for the first time since finishing down the field at the Donohill Links. For a standard week of golfing action, it doesn't get much better than this, does it?
Yeah, and Rory's finished runner-up here 74 times as well, so he's got all the course. So Dustin Johnson's played it once, was runner-up. I was looking at Justin Rose. He's had so many runners-up finishes in the United Arab Emirates as well, so it's kind of all the top guns are... got something just to get over the line. I think this is the one Henrik Stenson hasn't won either. He's won the other two on the golf swing. Paul Casey's a two-time winner. He's in there at 18-1. Tommy Fleetwood, defending champion, is oozing quality and class.
It is, and the vibes surrounding Rory McIlroy appear to be very positive. There's a feeling that he's fully fit and raring to go this campaign. He's even suggested that he might play 30 times this year. The most he's ever played in a campaign before is 28. He's newly married. Is there a renewed focus for McIlroy, do you think? Is this there seems to be an opinion in the golfing fraternity that this is McIlroy's year.
Yeah, I can see why. I did a little piece where I looked at world rankings and how many points people lost. And in 2013, he hemorrhaged, I think, more points than anybody, and then came back in 2014, won two majors. So I think the ebb and flow of McIlroy's career suggests we're about to have another... There's no reason why he can't kick on and hit those heights again, I don't think.
As far as this golf tournament's concerned, we return to familiar terrain as well. Abu Dhabi Golf Club plays to a par of 72, even 36 on both sides, measures 7,583 yards. And last year, Tommy Fleetwood came in with that woeful record in the event, but he showcased his elite-level ball striking to win this championship, recording 17 under par in the process. And if the recent history is anything to go by, the winner will have to shoot somewhere in the mid-teens under par to win this tournament.
Yeah, I think so. And these early desert events, they do sort of, they're kind of harbingers of what's going to happen in the rest of the year. Because Tommy Fleetwood wins this, goes on to become European number one. The last two winners of the Dubai Desert Classic, which is next week, gone on to win the Masters that same year.
Very
so
good.
So do note what happens this week and think it's not just like an early season win. This can tell you a story.
And it's something you've alluded to already, but when we do a podcast and we're looking at one of these events on the Desert Swing, we talk about form translating from one venue to another. Desert Rats, precisely. But there's so many of these players that love playing in the desert and love the sort of conditions you get out in Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
Well, I guess it's sort of, you know, I've just walked in and we're sitting in Leeds. I've just walked in. It's freezing. Sidewoods sort of snow and sleet. It's horrible. They've gone out there. Beautiful weather. Immaculate greens. You know, I think I'd be a desert rat comparatively, I think, compared to trying to play golf in Leeds.
You know what? I agree. I agree with you. I've actually got three picks for the event. What are you looking for this week?
The winner.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I've got three picks for this event, albeit quite low-key in terms of the staking plan.
Yeah, that's good because I struggle to find. I love the event and I'm really looking forward to it. In terms of a bet, I really struggle and I've almost disappointed myself with what I've come up with, but I'll say so.
Well,
but I've only got one, so you've got three.
It's funny you mention that because I'm looking at the event and I'm just trying to eke out some big prices because I do respect the top end of the market so much. We've commented about Dustin Johnson having come in on the back of that Kapalua win and finishing runner-up here last year. McIlroy loves this event, Justin Rose form of his life, but I've come up with a few at bigger prices.
You see, I was trying to think along those lines, but I'm thinking, aren't all these great places going to clog up all the each-way? How many each-way places are really up for grabs, to be honest?
Yeah, maybe three, possibly. I'm going with Torbjørn Olesen as my number one pick.
On my long list, but didn't make it. Yeah, good.
Just half a point each way at 66-1. I always like Olesen out in the desert and thought he was worth a few quid. He finished last season in good form with a 5th in Turkey, followed by a 12th in the Nedbank, and then that low-key 36th place finish in the DP World Tour Championship. He's actually only missed one cut in his 15 starts in the desert in this swing. And that includes an 8th place finish on debut in Abu Dhabi, finished runner-up here the following year as well. And he's got a couple of top 10s in the Dubai Desert Classic. And given that he's won on tour the last 4 years, if you include the Golf Sixers, which for the purpose of this argument, I am including.
Absolutely.
I think 66 is pretty fair, so he's my first selection, Olesen at 66.
Yeah, he's one of these Scandinavians who base themselves in the Middle East in the winter months, so he's very used to what's on offer. And yeah, I imagine it's pretty chilly in Denmark as well at the minute, not just Leeds.
Yeah, I think
so. He'll be happy to be there.
Like you say, he'll be finally attuned to conditions, given that he's got a base out there. So 66 to 1.
He's good, though, isn't he? Because he does win. That's the good thing about him at a kind of price. You look at some of those around him and they don't win as much as they should, but he seems to churn out a win a year, doesn't he?
Precisely. Go on, give us your one bet then.
Really? Have you got like a sort of jingle that does a groan? Dustin Johnson.
I was tempted, I must admit.
Well, yeah, okay.
5-1.
It's 5-1. He's just won. He's just beaten an elite field, if not a full field, by 8 shots. Before that in China, he could have won by 8 shots again had he not just gone a bit daft DJ on the final day. But he is capable of winning this by a bunch, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, without doubt.
Even though you've got Rose, as you say, form of his life, McIlroy coming back, all that incentive, he's just someone who can rack up a sequence. And when he's on, really, really on. And, you know, it's only 2 weeks ago since he won in Hawaii, so there's no reason. I did see someone tweet that, like, Fowler had become, like, the new sort of trendy kid on the block and everything, and we'd forgotten about DJ a bit, just because he was, like, off the planet good before falling down the stairs at Augusta, and then he probably... Did he win just once after that? We sort of started comparing what he'd done in the start of the year with afterwards and thinking, oh, he's somehow fallen away. But he's come... He kind of marked our cards, didn't he, in the HSBC Champions, that hang on a minute, if he gets it all together. Maybe by blowing it, we're thinking, oh, maybe he's still a bit daft in the head and he can still... But then he's so good, isn't he? He's a proper, proper world number one. He's not just keeping it warm for someone else. Mm. And it's just hard to see him not having a massive impact on this tournament. Does play a lot of golf overseas, unlike some of the other Americans, and wins as well, doesn't he? He's won in China, not this time, obviously, previously. Second here on debut, so that's kind of that's nice to have in the bag. If he was coming here and never played it before, you're thinking, well, he might have been, say, 6-1. That's a bit of a caveat, whatever. But second on course debut, why can't he just romp this again? I don't know. I don't see why he can't.
5-1, Dustin Johnson. I mean,
The only thing I'm toying with is...
It is a perfect golf course for Dustin Johnson.
It is, par 72. I mean, he can just take it apart. The only thing I'm toying with, do I think of it in terms of each way bet to nothing, or do I just, you know, 2 points win kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because I honestly
you're still mulling that over.
Can't see him being outside of the top five.
Oh, well, you've got to go each way then, haven't you?
Yeah, but that sentence could still include him winning. It's just he could shoot 20 under and Rose shoots 21, and then I sort of go, ugh. But no, I'm going to... But here's the world number one. He wins a lot. I'm going to go for the win.
Okay. 5-1, Dustin Johnson. My second bet is George Katsaya at 125-1.
Right.
He's had plenty of injury problems in his career, but he's managed a good stretch of golf recently. And... At 125, I think he's interesting. He's got 3 top 10 finishes around this track as well. They were in his first 3 starts. He's finished 7th in the Dubai Desert Classic at the start of last year. Performance in South Africa, in the South African Open, was admittedly slightly underwhelming, but he did finish on Sunday with a 66, which augurs well.
Well, you say it's underwhelming. His record on that course is rubbish.
Yeah.
And he actually made the cut, so you could see it as a positive, couldn't you?
I think the other positive there was he ranked 9th in greens in regulation as well for the week, which, given he finished down the field, it shows his long game's in pretty good shape. And that's what you need around this golf course, isn't it? The long game needs to be very sharp for you to succeed. So that's a definite tick next to the name of George Katsaya, I think.
Yeah, I did like the fact... I think he'd had 3 missed cuts out of 3 at Glendale before that. So he's kind of limped through to the weekend. But to end with a 66, I think he's left there with a bit of momentum. So, yeah, I quite like that.
Fair, isn't it? 125s. Yes. And my final bet in this is going to be Jordan Smith.
Right.
He's 150-1. I think when you see a player with a massive future like Smith is, and you see 150-1... given he's a relatively recent winner on tour, I'm just hoping that his class will shine through. And he missed the cut in South Africa last week. That was first start of the year. Hopefully that's blown away a few cobwebs. He was actually 25th at the back end of last year at the DP World Tour Championship, where he had rounds of 66 and 67, which shows he can play a desert golf. And he's got experience here as well now at Abu Dhabi. Finished a respectable 39th on his first start on this course last year. Since then, he won that European Open. And it's worth noting he's won in the United Arab Emirates as well on the Challenge Tour in an event in 2016. So 150-1 on him. I like it. So I'm playing all three of my picks, half a point each way, 66, 125 and 150-1 respectively.
Yeah, just get one of those in.
A few darts.
Yeah.
A few darts.
Go for it.
Any others you want to mention?
Stenson could look all right at 16s. I think he is kind of in on a par with Rose and McIlroy at other times. But does he start slowly a bit sometimes? I think he's got better at that. He did have a phase where he was really quite poor in this event, but I think he's made quicker starts. Casey, I'm not sure about. He's won it twice and seems to come sort of fifth every week in America.
He'll be confident, won't he, going in?
It's fair to say, yeah. So again,
25-1 Tyrrell Hatton?
Yeah, I think we've pushed him out, possibly. I think he was 22s.
Yeah, I think we have nudged him out a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. That would be the closest to my second bet, Tyrrell Hatton. He played in the Eurasia Cup last week, got 3 points out of three and was kind of all bubbly and full of what a great week that was, because he can get a bit mardy, can't he, when things are going wrong. So I think he'll come here. Well, he loves coming to the desert anyway. He's got a load of brilliant desert form. 54-hole leader in this event last year. And he always seems to be up there, doesn't he, when you watch these early events in January, even at the back end as well, and the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. He's just someone you expect to be there. So he's definitely each way potential, 25s.
Have you got something more imaginative for the Career Builder Challenge before we move on?
If 50-1's more imaginative, Dave, I think that's a yes.
Let's get stuck into it then. We've got 9-1 the field here. John Rahm is at the top of the betting. Brian Harman is 14s. Patrick Reed is 18-1. Kevin Kisner is 20s. Webb Simpson 22s. Phil Mickelson 25-1. 28-1 for Jason Duffner. Zach Johnson 28-1. Brendan Steele and Patton Kizzire are both 33s. And it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. This is the Californian Pro-Am. Returns with a familiar feel as well. For the third time in succession, the players will tackle the PGA West Stadium course, the PGA West Nicklaus Tournament course, and La Quinta over the first 54 holes. And following that, those that made the cut will play the Stadium course in the final round. These are all to cater for the Pro-Ams, to cater for the amateurs in this Pro-Am. Are all resort courses, so scoring is typically very low, but it's not an absolute necessity to go low on the stadium course, which has two rounds, including the final round. And that's what Hudson Swafford showed a year ago. He scored well on La Quinta and the Nicklaus course, but played quite conservatively on the stadium course and ended up winning. But if you're looking at this event from a stats perspective, have a look at birdie or better average and par breakers, because to win, you'll have to make plenty of birdies this week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know Mike, if he was here, wouldn't be too pleased about this event, would he? I think it's a bit of a birdie fest. But as you say, it's just pulled back a little bit from there. Even in the days...
They've made it a little bit more tough, haven't
they,
in recent years?
And sometimes when you look at the previous scores, you're thinking that's ridiculous. But it used to be five rounds, didn't it, at one point as well. So they've just reeled it in a little bit, I think, to provide a truer test. I mean, there might be a few people playing the John Rahm, Dustin Johnson double this week.
Could be.
I have to say. He's the sort of star man, but I prefer him for some other California events than this one. So, yeah, I've got two picks in this one. Have you?
I've just got one pick.
Just the one?
Yeah, just one pick. You lead us off then.
I'll lead you off, and I shall go with 33-1 Brendan Steele.
Okay.
A winner in California on his last start in the Golden State, isn't it, California? He's from there himself, won the Safeway Open on his last start there, and he's actually defending that title, so he's won that one back-to-back. Now, he plays this tournament particularly well, and this rotation really well. He was sixth in this event last year with the same rotation of courses. So that would have got some each way.
That's
money.
A key point as well, because this rotation of courses has been used for the last couple of years.
Two years. So six in this last year, and then the year before when it was used, he was 10th going into the final round. Fell away to 34th, but he was there again. So he's kind of in home country here. So I think he can put in a big performance. There's a slight worry that he was really bad at the Century Tournament of Champions. But I don't know whether he was just so far down the field that he lost a bit of interest. But if you look on the, you mentioned birdie or better stats, he's 16th on that this year. And he's played, I think, three or four events. So he's someone who can make an awful lot of birdies. Mm. I saw 33. I think we're joint biggest price. So I think that's a decent shout on him at 33-1. California, playing in California. Good course form, good area form.
I like it. Steel 33-1 for Dave. I'm going with Austin Cook.
Ah, yes.
Who I mentioned in one of our anti-post previews, I think, as maybe a lurker that's not even in the PGA Championship betting yet. But
if I had the third pick, that was him.
Yeah, I just think he's a big-time talent, Austin Cook.
Yeah.
I think he's an absolute star in the making, and won the RSM Classic in Georgia at the back end of last year, followed that with a 22nd place finish, which admittedly is down the field in the Tournament of Champions. What interests me is the way he struck the ball at Wailea last week. Really got it going over the weekend, closed 65-66, and he puttered exceptionally on Saturday and Sunday. It's his first time in the tournament. I'm pretty convinced he'll set up a ton of birdie opportunities. And so far in his burgeoning PGA Tour career, he's just had a ridiculously hot putter. And if that continues this week, I think he's got a big chance in the late 50s.
I think he actually gained 6 strokes on the field on the weekend with the putter at the Sony.
Obviously, it's very different conditions, isn't it, putting in Hawaii?
Yes and no. Still Bermuda greens, yes, though, isn't it, this week? So, but
slightly quicker, won't it?
Yeah, but he does seem to putt well everywhere, really, doesn't he? So, I think what I like about him as well, I think he sort of wind back to the other bits of his game. He hits a ton of fairways and loads of greens. So sometimes you think, oh, you can be wild. But it's the players who, it's like Jason Duffner won this. He basically won it just because he kept giving himself birdie chance after birdie chance by hitting fairways and greens. I think he's a similar type.
I think with this event as well, there's a tendency to think you can just hit it everywhere.
Yeah.
But I've read through some previous quotes from players that have performed well at this championship, and they've said hitting fairways, I know everyone says that, but hitting fairways is key to set up these birdie chances.
Right, yeah.
You can control your shot, and you're going to have to hit the ball regularly to 10, 15, 20 feet to win this tournament, and that's where he's putting well.
Yeah,
from mid-range as well. So I like Austin Cook at 50s.
I think I saw some quotes from Austin Cook's coach where he said, in terms of distance control, he's one of the best out there. So, you know, he can hit all his approaches flag high, and then he's got that hot putter. It just seems a good kind of recipe for Cook. There you go. To serve up a dish of delight.
You went too far, I think.
I know.
You peaked. You peaked early. Let's move on. Give us your next bet.
Yes, I'm going to go with Johnny Vegas, also at, I believe, 50-1, as is Cook.
Yep.
He's a former winner of this event, 2011. And I remember watching it at the time and thinking, how funny, there's a golfer called Johnny Vegas, and it's not the portly comedian from St. Helens. And after I got over laughing at that, I started watching him a bit more closely and thought, well, this is some player. I think it was only his second start as a PGA Tour member. I think he did something like he won his first Challenge Tour event. So he's a bit special, really, Johnny Vegas. Maybe he's not kicked on since, but if I were to tell you now he's ahead of Zach Johnson in the world rankings, would that surprise you?
Yes.
39th. I mean, that is, I think we're, in your head, you might think, oh, he's about 78th or something, but he's 39th. He's proper player. He's won the Canadian Open the last 2 years, which has obviously boosted his ranking. And then one start this year, 7th in the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii a couple of weeks ago. I thought that was a nice effort.
Good result.
To kick start the season with. He says he's worked on all aspects of his game over the winter, particularly his driver. Really happy with how he's driving the ball. And as we said, if you can find these fairways, I mean, he sort of rates himself as one of the better iron players out there. So I think he's got good package. Now, obviously, he won it in a different era, this tournament, but he's going back to the desert and the mountains, and he's got a lot of friends who live out there. I just think he's got quite a nice profile for a 50-1 chance. You look at some of the others around that price, but you know, they've got like a non-winner like Charles Howell. Bud Cawley, he's not won, has he? Or has he? Don't think he has.
No, he's not yet.
No. Others like Mickelson's not won for 5 years. So a couple of wins for Johnny Vegas, and he's really started to climb up those rankings. I mean, he played on the President's Cup team. That's how what we're talking about, a proper player. Beat Jordan Spieth in the singles, actually. In that, I know it was a bit of a disaster for the internationals, but in the singles, he beat Spieth. So I think he's just a player carrying a lot of confidence. And when he is confident, when he did win this event, 2011, I think he went to Torrey Pines and was third the week after. So when he's on a roll, you've got to look out for Johnny Vegas.
I must admit, I do like Bud Cawley this week. I know he's only...
I've used him as a...
Yeah, you've used him as a... Stick to which to promote Johnny Vegas. Yes. But I think Bud Cawley's got a tremendous chance. Yeah. He's got very good recent form and good course form. Those two are converging, and I think it is only a matter of time before Cawley wins on the PGA Tour. Was it the Safeway he had one of the events in the full swing where he had an ideal opportunity and then capitulated on Sunday to win and didn't quite close it out. But he's still learning, Bud Cawley, and he has got one win on the web.com tour. But 40s was a little bit tight, I thought, on him.
Similar, yeah. Shay Reavy as well, I thought he's got a load of top 20s.
Did you just call him Shay Reavy?
Yes. Because I can't stop calling him that. I always think of Don Reavy's house. And I can't ever...
Shay Reavy, I love it. I'm going to have to call him Shay Reavy from now on as well. 40-1 Shay Reavy. Give us some information about Reavy.
He's top 20 every week, basically. But the problem is, it's no good because he's sort of the best of those. I think he's the 12th. So he's thereabouts. So he's a bit of a frustrating character, I think.
One for the top 20 market.
Yeah, that would be a better one to look at. Yeah. And I just think you've got players at bigger prices who have won before. So
yeah, who've got a better chance. Yeah. He's only 5-4 for a top 20, so it's not bad. But it's I don't suppose it's a price you'd want to be getting heavily stuck into.
Sometimes you kind of look at those, but then sometimes it's just you win just as much as backing a 5-4 shot and nothing else than scraping an each way, you know, at 40s, and you feel like intellectually you've more rewarded, but it's the same outcome, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to forget all the other bets we've said, put everything on Shay Reavy at 5-4 for a top 10, you'd probably win the same.
Top 20, sorry.
Yeah. But I think it's more, I like the challenge of trying to play the outrights.
I like Kevin Streelman in here as well. Uh-huh. He would have been third on my list. I've only got the one bet, but 66-1 is okay on Streelman. He's just striking the ball brilliantly at the moment. You look through his statistics in his last 4 or 5 tournaments. In the all-around, he's ranked in the top 5 in 4 of the 5, and he finished 11th here on his debut a couple of years ago as well. So Streelman is another one that piqued my interest at 66-1.
Yeah, also at 66s, although that's quite short, we've got Luke List, who makes a ton of birdies. I think he was top 10 on the... You look at the birdie or better stats from last season. All the best players, and then Luke List's in there.
And the other one that's in there and could be interesting is Scott Piercy.
Yeah, he's another.
At 66-1, he's like top...
Prolific birdie
maker. Yeah, top 15 on par breakers and birdie or better on tour last season. As you mentioned, you look through that list and you're just seeing the elite level players,
Johnson, everybody,
basically, and then it catches your eye.
Yeah, it's like, whoa,
what's he doing there precisely? And Scott Pierce is there, so he might be worth a few quid perhaps at 66-1 as well, because he's a good player, Scott Pierce.
Definitely. Luke List, as well as just kind of potentially being a good fit, well, he is, because in 2016 he was tied 6th here, shot pair of 68s and a pair of 66s, so he's done it on this course. Just maybe didn't do...
Yeah, you're just worried about his recent form, aren't you, I suppose?
Yeah, although I always quite like it when someone misses the cut on the back of a decent round. So he shot 68 in the Sony Open, missed the cut, but there's not much wrong with him if he shoots 68.
Okay, who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Oh, that's a good question. I would probably say Webb Simpson, because I kind of put him up at double the price just about last week.
You can't really go in at that price, sort of, can you? Justify it.
Yeah. So, but he played great. On the weekend, I think he shot 63, 65 in the Sony.
His putting renaissance might not be a mirage here. We might actually be seeing him returning.
If you look over the last couple of seasons, plot a graph, it's only going one way, isn't it?
Precisely.
Better and better.
He's got the claw grip now, hasn't he, I think? Mm. He's got some sort of...
Could be one to look at in the majors as well, because obviously he's won one before.
Yep, yep, definitely.
Won it in California, so we're in California again.
I'd have to say my guy I don't want to win would be Bud Cawley, definitely. I know he's going to win soon, but 40-1, just that little bit on the tight side to put him in as a bet this week. Dave, I've enjoyed that.
Yes, we're good, wasn't it?
Let's recap the selection. I'll pat you on the back later.
Quite a bit that way.
Let's recap the selections.
Yes. In the Abu, you say Derby, I say Dabby.
Okay.
In the Abu Dhabi, I will go...
It sounds strange when you say it there.
2 points win Dustin Johnson at 5-1. Sorry, that's the best I can come up with.
Yeah.
Do you want to do yours for that event?
Yeah, I'm going half a point each way on Torbjörn Olesen at 66-1, George Kutsaya at 100-1, and 125-1, George Kutsaya, and Jordan Smith at 150-1. Nearly did myself out of 25 points there.
Yeah, can't be doing with that. In the Career Builder in California, I'll have a point each way on Brendan Steele at 33-1. By the way, I've just listened to a podcast, Brendan Steele. He does a podcast.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
But I thought it was just us. I thought this was the only podcast in the world on golf.
Bass player at Linkin Park. Now, they're a music band, Dave. I know you don't like music.
I like music. I just don't follow it closely.
Have you heard of them?
I have heard of Linkin Park.
Yes. So I listen to that. It's quite entertaining.
What's that about then? Is it just about music?
No, and golf.
And golf.
The guy at Linkin Park loves golf and Brendan Steele loves music, so they have a crossover.
It's perfect.
I know.
It's perfect.
So point each way.
Whereas we just both like golf, so there's nothing else on this podcast.
No, I love music.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like... Okay, so you could teach me something about music and I could teach you something about watching TV in my boxer shorts. Do you think that'd be a podcast?
Might be. Try and think of something that I don't do.
All right, okay. I'll save something.
NFL,
I'll think of something for next week.
You could teach me something about NFL.
Yeah, we're coming towards the end of the season, though, unfortunately. Yeah. So that might be a...
Although I did watch it the other day.
A short-lived podcast.
What a finish that was.
Did you enjoy that?
I did. Brilliant.
There's a finish like that every single week in the NFL.
Mark Wilson always tells me.
Yeah, it's a lot of
Not
fun.
Not the PGA Tour player, our very own Mark Wilson.
No.
We've cut this bit out.
We've got to leave it in now.
Okay.
Yeah, go give us your selection in the
Career
Builder.
A point each way on Brendan Steele, podcast expert, and I will go for a point each way on Johnny Vegas at 50s.
Very good. Thank you for your company, Mr. Tindall.
Cheers,
I'm
Dave.
Going a point each way, Austin Cook, by the way. Forgot about that. 50-1.
Yeah.
50-1. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Thank you for listening to this podcast, even those last
ramblings few minutes
for the last couple of minutes. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Do check us out at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. That's where all our on-demand audio lives. You can access this podcast via iTunes. It's all in all the usual podcast places. Just type in William Hill. And if you want to tweet myself and Dave with your selections, we are more than willing to discuss them on Twitter as well. So thank you for your company. Good luck with your golf betting this week and enjoy it all with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.